Welcome back to A People's Guide to Publishing. We discovered last week that we had two episode 36s, so this is episode 38.
I'm Ellie Blue. I'm the editorial and marketing director here at Microcosm.
And I am Joe Beal, the autistic publisher and the author of A People's Guide to Publishing, the book.
So today we are going to talk, we're filming a response video to another YouTube video.
Isn't that YouTube of us?
But you don't have to watch the other video. The other video is Lindsay Ellis, who posted a 30-minute video called How to Get a Book Deal in 10 Years or Less. Mm-hmm. And you can totally go watch that video. I feel like it's a compelling story that she tells of like how she, you know, spent a decade. She got a deal to publish her book like in the last few weeks, mm-hmm. after writing two books and trying really hard for years. But you don't have to watch it to get something out of this. We're gonna give you the sort of too long didn't watch takeaway, which is
once four people had sent this video to me, I knew that it was a cultural sensation. And that was the number one thing that people wanted me to comment on this week. So I suppose this is what we're doing. Lindsay essentially was talking at length about the idea of platform as a mechanism for getting published, and was talking a lot about the process of shopping multiple books through multiple agencies to multiple publishers, and what that process and timeline were like for her, and made a lot of sort of conjecture and generalizations about what how these things reflect on the industry and her own lack of motivation for self-publishing because she self-publishes on YouTube every day, and how more generally these things might create other authors' expectations for what their experience might be like.
So my summary of this video, takeaway I got from it, was that there's a lot of like rules and hoops you can jump through to try to get your book published. Like you should, you know, create this kind of pitch and this kind of manuscript, and you should submit to this many agents and this many publishers, and go to this many workshops and so on. And like none of that is what worked for her. What worked for her was spending those 10 years honing her craft, like working on her books over and over until she had a book that was ready to publish, and building her platform. And she didn't really, she kind of said this was her privilege, but it was also like the result of her publishing prolifically on YouTube and becoming
her work.
Yeah. It was based on her work.
Right. It's not like it's because of some privileges that she was born with. It's because she busted her ass to build this platform that people appreciated, which is a lot of the kind of work that goes into publishing. Even if you're not necessarily building a YouTube platform, you're building a platform somewhere, somehow, some way, you know, that's, even if it's just building your platform by honing your craft as a writer, becoming better at it, promoting yourself, you know, some which way or another.
So can you talk about some ways that other authors have built their platform?
Sure. I was not prepared for this question, and I have to say, this is the first time I've been stumped on this program.
Yes, but not the last.
Time will tell. No accidents here. Oh, I should have gone. There's so many copies of this book that are easier to grab. So many years ago, we published this book by Nate Powell.
It's called Sounds of Your Name.
Mm-hmm. And Nate Powell was, at this time, a relatively unknown in the comics world, but pretty established talent in the punk world. He had been the longtime one of three singers of the band Sufi Nun Squad, and had a sort of underground renown, you know, and despite being a do-it-yourself band, they had toured Europe, and, you know, they had really built a very unique and interesting thing, and his comics were sort of like posited as an extension of his music, you know, even though those things were completely unrelated. He did, with one of the guitar players of the band, you know, make comics since he was a preteen, you know, and
but also, like, he knew how to reach an audience with his creative work.
Yes.
Which is, like, almost more, like, the skill than the individual people that you can reach.
And he started a record label probably as a teenager, probably to release his own music, but then did go on to release music by quite a few renowned Little Rock bands that went on to have notoriety. Probably the Red 40, which went on to become Lucero many years later. And these things that are essentially platform building skills, marketing skills, you know, and at the same time honing the craft of illustration and slowly writing. You know, he had done two books with Soft Skull Press when they were a tiny bedroom independent around the turn of the millennium, and both of those books had gone out of print. So this collects most of those two books and some other books, and then he had done some new books since then, and most notably he was the illustrator for March with Senator John Lewis, which was, you know, March Book 1 was number 1 in the New York Times bestseller list, March Book 2 was number 2, March Book 3 was number 3. It was a kind of a unbelievable moment when, like, somebody that, you know, we have worked with establishes that the publisher doesn't give out numbers for sales figures, but you essentially know at that point they have sold cumulatively at least a million, probably millions of books. You know, they had sold hundreds of thousands before they had made the Times list, so and it was all because, you know, he stuck with it. He partnered, you know, he was a very talented illustrator who got picked for a project that was bound to be successful. And then John Lewis got into a strange feud with Donald Trump, who began tweeting about the book and the person. And there was a peculiar, well, maybe not so peculiar, sales upswing as a result of that, because people became curious. So if you stick around long enough, you'll eventually be in the right place at the right time doing the right thing.
We're talking about honing your craft and, like, longevity and sticking around and building your platform and building your network. I think a lot of people, though, think of networking as, like, meeting and becoming friends with famous people. And
no,
it's not that way at all.
No,
or
true.
Just, like, meeting as many people as possible. It's not really that way. I feel like building your network is partly... It's also really about the quality of your relationships that you're building. And often that's with your peers who are also just starting out, and you never know where they'll end up or where you'll end up. And that's also with people that you can help come up to the level that you're at.
Yeah.
And occasionally it is also with somebody who's in a position of power who can be like, oh yeah, I can introduce you to my friend the agent, or I am my friend the agent, or whatever.
Right.
But, like, I think that, like, people get picked for projects like this,
yeah,
not just because they have an audience already, not just because they have the skills already, but because they're, like, known to be reliable. And honestly, yeah, like, knowing that someone will do the work they say they do and not be unnecessarily difficult is a huge thing.
That's what I was gonna say.
Haha.
Because, you know, Nate's journey started in 1992 and really didn't land hard until 2016, 2017. That's a long time to slog. You know, that's upwards of 25 years, you know. So Dr. Faith Harper, on the other hand,
which is holding up two books. One is called This Is Your Brain on Depression, and one is called Unfuck Your Boundaries.
And you probably know her big hit, Unfuck Your Brain, Unfuck Your Intimacy, etc., etc. There's lots of books. And she came into our office one day when she was on her honeymoon and asked us to have a meeting, and we said we don't really do that. And then she spieled us with what her book ideas were, and she had the credentials. She had the background as she had been a relationship therapist for 2 decades, you know, if not just shy thereof at that time, certainly by now, and had a lot of ideas and had a lot of her own theories and had a lot of research that other people had done to draw from and stays cutting edge by reading up on things, but had zero author platform, had zero notoriety in the publishing world, had zero notoriety as an author. She had been turned down categorically by everybody else that she approached. Same story as, you know, you can check out on the YouTube. But the thing was that, you know, we could sort of see what she was getting at, and we could see the potential of all those things, and we were not afraid of the F word or, like, this person's, you know, sort of off-brand, sort of kitschiness and way of communicating. So it was a real no-brainer for us. And the proof is in the pudding, you know, like, we're into the 9th printing of Unfuck Your Brain. You know, we're going through 10,000 a month. You know, we're, it's really wild to see, you know, she's going to have, she'll probably be our best-selling author by the time you watch this. And it's really, you know, a fabulous, fascinating journey to turn somebody from having no established name or brand into like a success story like that, where you're sending five-figure checks all the time. It's awesome. You know, that's like what you want to do. That's like the point of being a publisher, is adding value to somebody's work.
And I use Faith's platform building actually as an example for other authors that come to us and are like, I want to write a book or I want to write some zines, but it can't just be a hobby for me. I need to eventually make money. And I'm like, okay, this is what you do. Because Faith came to us without an author's platform, but she actually started building it before her book came out, and not through social media necessarily. Like, she does use it, but and I think a lot of people try to build a platform for social media, but that's like a lot of noise and it doesn't necessarily sell a lot of books. But what she did was she started writing chapters of her book and we started publishing them as zines.
Mm-hmm.
And those were immediately very popular. They told us we'd made a good decision. They helped us like hone the development and the editorial work on her book. They helped us choose what direction to go in on subsequent books. And I think that's also important. Like, she didn't just write one book. She wrote a million zines. She wrote multiple books. And then she, like, always has ideas for more books. And now we're doing, like, 4 books a year with her or more.
More than that.
And multiple zines. And, yeah, like, 6 books a year. I mean, it's, like...
And the brilliance...
And it's, like, giving people what they want. Like, we're responding to people, not just the sales figures, but, like, the mail that we get from people being, like, this changed my life. Can you do this one, too?
Mm-hmm. And it's, like, she has the stones, intelligence, and wherewithal to say no when she thinks we're wrong. You know, it's not like she just goes along with what we say. It's, this is my concern here, and this is why this is not a good idea. But 90% of the time, she's like, yes, I will do that, that's a great idea, and I can see why. You know, and sometimes there's a hesitation, like, it seems like there's a lot of books, there's a definitive book out already on that subject, why would I do that? And then when she hears this out, she's like, oh, okay, cool, no biggie.
Yeah, and like, I would say, like, her saying no doesn't make her difficult, it's the opposite.
Right, right. It, like, shows that she's not just going along with what we're directing.
If you spend all your time trying to build a platform on social media, you will not ever write a book.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you'll never spend the time building your craft.
Yeah.
And you know, at the end of the day, a publisher is not publishing your brand or your identity. A publisher might be more interested in your credibility because you're queer or trans or, like, because of your racial identity, but they are not able to publish you solely on that fact. You know, nobody could. And you don't want somebody that would. You want somebody that is publishing you because your work is good and interesting and fits their catalog and has a place on the shelf because it challenges an existing narrative and serves an audience, you know? Like, without those things, there's no reason to publish something, you know, because there's so many 8,000 new books published today, tomorrow, the next day, and so on.
So in summary, hone your craft, build authentic relationships, keep your goal in mind, like what your actual goal is, not like that you want to publish a book, but like why you want to publish that book, what that will achieve in the world, and you'll go far.
And think about who you want to be involved with, you know? Like, yeah, you want to get in the habit of saying no when it's appropriate, so you can say yes when it's appropriate.
And it may only take a decade.
Boundaries.
Boundaries. This has been A People's Guide to Publishing, the podcast.
Episode 38.
38.
Are you sure? I used to be your host, Joe Beal, the autistic publisher, and the author of A People's Guide to Publishing, now in reprint. Soon, one of the few copies of the first printing sitting here on our desk.
And I'm Ellie Blue, sort of the leader of the hordes that has taken over this podcast. The result of our power struggle you'll see in the next episode, number 39. Thanks for watching.
Bring your pitchforks.
microcosmpublishing.com
Thanks so much for joining us once again on A People's Guide to Publishing, the podcast, episode 36. I am your host, Joe Beal, the autistic publisher.
I'm Ellie Blues, the editor who doesn't pay attention to commas.
And please send us your questions so we can answer them on future episodes. And please, please do give us those reviews on iTunes and everywhere else that podcasts are reviewed. 5 stars, if you please. And have a wonderful week.
Thank you. You can find us on the internet at microcosmpublishing.com or microcosm.pub if you want to keep it short and simple. You can also find us on Twitter at microcosm, on Facebook at microcosm publishing, on Instagram at microcosm_pub, and here in Portland on North Williams Avenue.
Thank you so much.